Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, everyone. This is Bruce Marable from Employee Cycle, and you are listening to the Employee Cycle Podcast. And by the way, welcome 2021. Although we brought in a lot of the craziness and the stuff that we didn't like in 2020 into the new year, hopefully this new year is much better for a lot of you. So you know how this starts. Let me just give you a quick plug of Employee Cycle so you know who we are. For all you HR and people leaders out there that's still using that manual, tedious, time-consuming, manual, again, HR reporting process where you're going into a whole bunch of HR systems, downloading messy, crappy spreadsheets, trying to combine all of them together to tell a data-driven story of your workforce. You know, you're working remote. You really need to understand who's working where. What are you paying people? What does turnover look like in your different departments? And you're either logging into a bunch of different systems or you're pulling all these spreadsheets together, but you know that there has to be a better way. Well, there is. Go to employeecycle.com to check out our people dashboard that has pre-built API connectors to the most popular HR systems all of you are using. Systems like ADP, Bamboo HR, namely 15.5, Greenhouse, Reflective, you name it. We can pull all your data automatically from all your different systems into one people dashboard so you can view, share, track, and analyze all that data in one place. Go to employeecycle.com to schedule a demo so we can learn how we can help you automate your HR reporting and analytics process. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Taya McDaniel. He's the HR and Talent Acquisition Director at WT Partnership. And today we're going to discuss how to maintain a positive company culture during COVID-19. Taya, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Taya, welcome!
Thank you for the warm welcome, Bruce.
Of course. So, Taya, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, which is by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
So I think I was heading down the freeway and took a wrong turn, and it turned out to be the right. So, actually what happened was I have a career of, a bit of time as a recruiter, and I actually had a client who wanted to bring me in, to set up their HR department. And in that meeting, I said, look, I'm not an HR person. And their understanding of HR was that HR, payroll, and, recruitment were all of the same thing. And we came to an agreement, and I went internal. And over the course of the 4 years that I exclusively did 99% of their recruitment and also building out their processes and procedures, internal structure, they grew from 70 individuals to over 300 and from $100 million in annual revenue to nearly $4 billion in 4 years. So that was the beginning of the HR career.
Awesome. Thanks for that background. So, Taya, today we're talking about how to maintain a positive company culture during COVID-19. So, to make sure that we're speaking apples to apples here and everyone understands exactly what we're talking about, what does a positive company culture look like in the first place?
Well, I think for individuals, if they wake up in the morning and they don't dread coming to work, and when they're either working remotely or within an office space and they're enjoying the people that they're working with and that they feel like they're being engaged, they're being valued, they see that their career is growing and that they're growing as an individual. I think that is all part of being a positive culture. I think really understanding the motivation of employees and what is going to be satisfying those motivations, because different people will have different things, whether it's a monetary element, a growth path that is increasing for them. And one of the big things is feeling they have a good connection with their managers and that they're having an understanding between each other and that there's an appreciation for the work that they're doing and that there's reward and enjoying the people that they're working with.
Nice. So I'm going to ask you a question that I'm sure a lot of people already may know the answer to, but for the sake of the interview, I'm going to ask you anyway. How has COVID-19 impacted your ability to provide a positive company culture at your company?
Well, we're very employee-centric, and before any province in Canada or state in the U.S., made it a mandate for people to stay at home, we had already communicated to all our employees to have themselves set up to work remotely. So we did that before any other decisions were made by any government. After that, one thing that we also really wanted to make sure was that no one drifted off into an island. So we made sure that we had weekly get-togethers regionally with the individuals who were typically working in the same office with each other. We also understood that, you know, one of the biggest fears was, number one, loss of a job, and number two, something that we saw a lot of our competitors doing, which was scaling down salaries. And that was really the last thing that we wanted to have happen. So I think really a credit to our leadership, Adam Shaw, Phil Nixon, and Darren Blythe, was that the game plan was, let's see what our overhead, you know, looks like and were there different areas that we can actually cut back on our costs. So we implemented those changes. In fact, Texas was barely using any office space, for example, and they were either working already remotely or, you know, at a client. So it didn't make sense to maintain an office space in either of our offices in Texas. So it was those kind of measures that we did. And to date, we haven't, you know, let go of anyone, furloughed anyone, or cut anyone's salary. And I think that was really sort of the first part. Also maintaining the connectivity between different people within the business and making sure that, as I said before, no one was drifting off into their own island. And we also had a group called Kapow, which was sort of an anachronism for Culture and People of WT, which initially was set up to put together events that would be happening for employees, but then also to do things for the community as well, a community outreach. But with COVID, that sort of limited that. So we changed our, we kind of pivoted and turned our focus more into making sure that we were looking after the well-being of our folks. We've sent out resources for mental health support. We've sent out resources in terms of other health guidance, as well as physical exercises as well. And so we've really tried to, you know, keep a finger on the pulse to what's happening with each of our employees. And moving from 2020, which I think was really a survival mode year for most anyone, particularly in this unprecedented time and circumstance with COVID-19, because, you know, the last time that there was such a serious pandemic was in the early 20th century, which was called the Spanish flu at the time. I don't know what the technical term for it is. But, you know, for us in this day and age, you know, it was really trying to learn on the spot and trying to navigate in such a way. And I think really for 2021, it's now we've gotten to a point where this isn't, you know, as shocking as it was before, and we can really dial in harder on making sure that we're staying employee engaged. You know, that's included everything from my end as to, you know, helping managers recognize people's birthdays and anniversaries. So I've sent out birthday cards to every single manager to share with their direct reports when their birthdays are coming up, and also announcing birthdays and anniversaries prior to the months that they happen in, and also making sure that all the regions are having their business meetings, so people are not just engaged on a social level, but also what's happening with the business. And, you know, in this way too, that there's more sort of cohesiveness as a company, that everyone is involved versus, you know, just a few involved, and everyone else is sort of reacting to, you know, the mandates of the few.
Interesting. And one of the things that I heard you mention a few times was that you didn't want to keep, or you didn't want any of your employees to feel like they were on an island. What does that mean exactly, since people are working remote, so you can definitely feel like you're on an island geographically and spatially because you don't have employees around you? But beyond that, what does that mean?
Well, I think that, you know, typically in a work environment, in a lot of businesses, you know, the manager tells the employee what they need to do, and the employee does it. And if they do it well, great. And if they don't do it well, well, you know, not so great. But I think that, you know, for a company that's really more employee engaged, it's really listening to each other. And that really comes through communication. So I think one really needs to be more progressive in terms of connecting to one's people. I mean, if there's anyone that you're managing and you're not really communicating to, or you're just communicating through emails, you know, we lose that human element. And, you know, even people who I think are maybe, you know, self-described as being antisocial, there still needs to be some sort of, you know, connectivity there. And I think that when we talk about people drifting off into an island, you need to be aware that there are some individuals that have families, there are some individuals that have roommates, there are some individuals that don't have anyone, you know, at all. They may be away from their loved ones, which, you know, has its own pains to it. Then again, maybe they don't really have anyone, or maybe people are so far away, and you don't know what the dynamics are of every relationship. But to feel that they have a community that they belong to, that they have not just a community, but a welcoming community, and an embracing community, and a community that really appreciates them for what they do. And, you know, I think that it goes back to the idea of, you know, what exactly does it mean to love someone? And, you know, if you strictly love someone for all their positives, okay, that's not really complete love. I mean, if you love someone despite their imperfections, and you embrace also their imperfections as well as the wonderful things that you, you know, think are great about them, then that's real love. And I think that we all need to understand that as human beings, we're not perfect, but how can we really work on, you know, increasing, you know, the elements of us that are good at things, and at the same time work on the things that we maybe have not put that much time into or really embraced. There's a great book by Dr. Dweck called Mindset, which is about growth mindset. And it's really the concept that, hey, we're good at certain things for certain reasons. We may have been appreciated for it. It came easy to us. We enjoyed doing it. But there were things that over the course of time, we just sort of decided that we weren't good at those things. And there were reasons for that too. Maybe it didn't come easy to us. Maybe we weren't appreciated for it, or maybe we were scolded for not getting it right. And that became a negative aspect to us. So I think as managers, we need to, you know, take a higher road. See, one of my dogs trying to get into the room. Yeah, I've got three mastiffs, and one of them's quite the escape artist, or you know, oh, I've got two of them in the room now. So I think that from a manager's standpoint, is in these difficult times to take the higher road and really understand that in the development of our employees, there are things that they're going to be able to do well, and there are things that they're going to struggle with. And also to understand that different people learn in different ways. We have auditory learners, we have physical learners, and that maybe the way that we're communicating the information needs to change in the way that it's being delivered. And in that way, we can find a common ground as to how the information can be shared and how the learning can actually happen in order that we really develop our employees. Because many times I think that a lot of people look at it from the standpoint of, well, you know, these employees either perform or they don't perform. And there's such a loss in terms of intellectual capital, skill sets that walk out the door when perhaps managers haven't exactly done their job. And there's also financial loss going out the door as well. All that time that it took to recruit that person, all the time it took to train that person, all the time that was involved trying to get that person ramped up and going. And I think that often opportunity is lost based on a very simplistic viewpoint as to what is a successful employee. But we need to look at all that.
Got it. And then lastly, I just want to ask you, how has all of this that you've learned through 2020 informing your 2021 strategy? What are you changing that you did from last year? And what did you, but then also, what are you going to continue to do from last year into this new year?
So I saw a video of a infant in their diapers with a stick, innately having learned the Hakka, the Maori fight song that often one will see the New Zealand All Blacks perform before their matches. And I really looked at that and I said, this is going to be my new attitude. I'm going to be more on a progressive and aggressive posture in terms of going after 2021 and getting out of it what WT Partnership North America needs versus being, I think, more in a reactionary place with 2020, just because there were so many unknowns and really trying to react to things and as they were coming along. So I think 2021 is going to be more me in the driver's seat, trying to get these initiatives to go and to help everyone else.
Taya, thank you so much for such an awesome interview to help us kick off 2021. We hope you, your family, your employees continue to stay safe, stay healthy, and hope that everyone has a better 2021 than 2020. So, Taya, thanks so much for being such an awesome podcast guest.
Woo! Taya!
Thank you, Bruce. And again, to you and your loved ones and everyone listening and their loved ones, be safe, be healthy, and don't forget to be happy.
There we go. So, Taya, where can people find you and WT Partnership online?
You know what? I welcome anyone to connect with me on LinkedIn, Teja, T-E-J-A, McDaniel, M-C-D-A-N-I-E-L. And if you connect with me, you can also, you know, click the WT icon and read a little bit up about us. And, you know, you can also, you know, look us up on the web, WT Partnership North America or WT North America.
Thanks again for that, and we'll definitely include all your contact info in the show notes. So everyone out there listening, if you enjoyed this episode as much as Taya and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on Google Reviews, iTunes, wherever you want to leave a rating, because it shows that you care and that we're providing great content. Also, if this is your very first time listening to our podcast, and that's because you are already a super fan of Taya and you just had to hear what he was going to say, or you thought that this topic was compelling, and now you're hungry for more awesome Employee Cycle interviews, please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to great podcasts. And last but not least, all of you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.